Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about what actually happens to our bodies when we get aroused, and I'm taking your calls. Topics include, you're in a monogamous relationship, but you have a secret online persona. Is that considered cheating? You caught your 9-year-old looking up naked pictures of women on the internet. What do you do? So you're a beginner of BDSM. Here's what not to do when choking your partner. How to get over the hunch of watching porn with your husband, because hey, if you can't beat him, join him. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out all of our posts. I'm there to help you have better sex and relationships, just like this podcast that we release 3 times a week. I hope you're subscribed. We love when you subscribe. Wherever you listen to this show and comment, subscribe on iTunes, or wherever you listen, like I said. Okay, I don't often check this, but in iTunes, like, I've been doing the show for 14 years, and it says we have, like, 4 stars. Because in the beginning, I don't know, maybe I was talking too fast or I had a lot of ads, but it helps if you go give us 5 stars. Because I'm giving a 5-star offer. All right, you can also check it out wherever you listen. Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud. Also, SiriusXM Radio, you guys, I am there on Channel 109 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 Eastern, and you can get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM, or to be honest, just call in during those times. You don't even need to have Sirius, and that number is 888-947-8277. You can just answer your questions there. Also, find me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. Wherever you are, I am there too. All right, guys, hope you enjoy the show. I want to talk to you guys about sex. No, okay.
Shocker.
Always talking about sex. But here's the thing. Do you actually know the science of sex and what actually happens to our body when we get aroused? I just thought this was a very interesting piece, a study that you guys, or just some information that I don't know that we've covered with you lately. You know that sex is important and it's good for your health, or at least I hope you do. That the more we have sex, the healthier that we are, and the more that we have sex, the more sex we're going to want to have. Many of the health benefits has to do with oxytocin, which is like the love hormone that is released when we are intimate with someone, touching. They call it the cuddle hormone. It's actually what's released when you're petting your dog or your cat, which is why I want to get a dog. Anyway, no one thinks I'm going
to
get one.
No, I want you to get
same,
one.
It's the same hormone that causes contractions at childbirth. It's even in sperm. And I think a lot of times when people are craving intimacy in their relationships and like we're not having intercourse anymore, you know, it's important just to still touch and to cuddle and to hug. And Also, when we're working out and we make sure that we're just being physical, that will affect the libido. So it's important. And if we don't use it, we lose it. So the less sex we have, the less we masturbate, the less we touch our partners, the less we're going to want to have it. And the same goes for women who are also going through menopause, who have gone through menopause. I know that you just want to give up. And I know that you're like, I never want to have it. I can't even remember what was good. But the more that you have it now and the more you get your body, you know, going again with sex, it's like, it is a muscle. And if you don't use it, you do lose it. So I feel like that just remembering, even if you could remember that there was a time you liked it and connected to it, that will actually help you, which is the truth. And I think that we often think that we have a low libido and we don't desire sex. Like earlier when, who called him? Was it Steve? Here was his name, Michael.
Yes, Steve.
Steve said that his wife, yeah, she's never really been into sex. But I think that we think people have low libidos, but often people are just in a rut. Like, I think that people typically, like, in the beginning, we all want to have a lot of sex because we're really, it's something new and exciting and it's challenging and we don't know what's going to happen and there's all that excitement. And then we get into a rut and we're like, I'm not really, I don't want to have sex. I have a low libido. And then couples think, well, it's not natural to force it. It's not even natural to talk about it. So we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to assume that we just don't want to have sex anymore. But this is when we got to get creative and we got to be spontaneous and we got to try something different. Sex also helps with sleep.
It does,
you guys. Sex helps you sleep. So I don't think you guys realize that it can help you fall asleep. Orgasm is great for that. For women who I often hear don't make time to orgasm or to masturbate, that when you actually do, you're like, oh yeah, Emily, you're right. You're never going to be bummed that you had an orgasm. You're never going to be pissed that you went to the gym. It's the same kind of thing.
It'd just be really funny if someone was just like, God damn it. Why did I have that orgasm?
Yeah, I don't think they do. Are you guys ever bummed about your orgasms? There's a lot we're talking about these days that we say that we're not having sex. The sex, every day we get a sex study that we're not having sex. And we blame our busy lives and the phones for the reason why there's such a decline in sexual activity. But yet, in this study, at least it says that women and 2/3 of men, they would like to have sex more often. But they're blaming it on all the stimuli that's coming from our phones and from television. And, you know, I thought this was really interesting that back in the day, you'd go home and you couldn't continue to work or shop or connect with a million people or even date at home online. You'd go home and you have to, like, talk.
Like, oh, you have to talk to your family.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, talk to your family. I guess you'd watch TV. I guess TV was the culprit often. But now there's, like, no one's even watching TV. It's all about your freaking phones.
You watch TV on your phone.
You can watch TV on your phone. So we do all that, right? But then you get a text and you're off the TV and then it's like goes on. You're never done watching. So here's the sexual response cycle, which I don't just think is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is something that was first discovered by Kinsey. First people who actually started talking about sex. So the first stage is 4 cycles of arousal. The first one is just excitement. The excitement, that's kissing, you know, watching movies. 82% of women aroused by their nipples being touched. Mm-mm. 52% of men with their nipples being touched. I'm telling you, I don't think we touch men's nipples enough. I think they like it. They might like it. Test it. Did you try it?
No, I really want to. I was going to ask you your step-by-step analysis of how to touch men's nipples. How would you do it?
I would just gently, like, I would maybe kiss them, lick around the nipple.
Yeah.
Like lick around, maybe a little nibble, maybe lick on it and then blow on it. Or just kind of kiss it, make out with it, tenderly. Okay. See how it feels.
I like that.
I don't think that men are used to it. Mm. It's not for everyone. Every guy, just like every woman doesn't want her breast touch, but I think you should try it. So then what happens during this first phase, you're going to get a sex flush. That's when women can get like they can get pink patches on their breasts. It spreads to their body, kind of looks like a rash, but it's a sex flush.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It gets right in your abdomen, gets to your neck and your face and your back. Do you ever feel that? Like a flush?
I feel like aroused? I feel like I wouldn't say a flush. I'd say maybe I get like a warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't really look.
Yeah. There's not a mirror. That's why I also need more mirrors in the room, in the bedroom. Then there's also, we do, mirrors are hot to have sex. What was it? Like, we were talking to Wednesday Martin when she was on the show about mirrors. Right? Was that her? We're obsessed with the mirrors. Put a mirror in your bedroom. It's hot. I'm telling you, you think you don't want to look at yourself having sex, but you look good. So during this phase, men get an erection and they may lose it and then regain it. And then in the second phase, women's, like, the sex organs swell. So this is why I love you all to, like, masturbate with a mirror in front of you, even if it's a little mirror. The clitoris, the labia, the vagina, they all enlarge. They swell. And then the muscles around the opening of the vagina get tighter. And this is when all the lubrication starts to flow. Mm. The breasts can swell. The nipples get hard.
You know what I think sometimes? Tell is me. That when, so when you're actually getting aroused, like, as a woman, and this is happening, and you're starting to get really wet, I think some guys think that means that you had an orgasm. And I'm like, no, my body's prepping.
They for misread that. The wetness and the arousal.
I think
I think you're, I think that's true. And I think they also misread that phase as even the first one, as you're ready to go. They don't let that phase go long enough.
Yes.
They're like, oh, she's starting to get aroused. I might as well stick my penis in right now, but she's not fully aroused. And then it kind of sets the stage back, or she doesn't get to the third stage, which is orgasm. Because I think that we just rush through this second phase, which is a delightful phase to be in.
That very delightful. Needed to be said. That, yes. I cannot
so stick
tell
hanging
you,
out in that phase.
Yeah, enough where it's just like, I just got wet.
I
like,
just got 0.2 turned on.
2 seconds ago. What makes you think that you can just enter me right
well,
now?
Well, because that's why I'm describing the stages of arousal for a reason.
Yes.
Because I think that that's, you know, is that you have to understand that we, that for men, their stages of arousal, well, it's the same. It goes faster because when men get erection, they're turned on right away visually. It's more responsive and they want to get going. And but we're like, we're not there yet. And so that's the orgasm gap. That's the arousal gap too. So during this, like, so we start to swell, we're getting turned on. There's also like a plateau phase in this. And men, like, says, okay, so in men, muscles that control urine contract to prevent any mixing with semen at the base of the penis.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. This is when they secrete the pre-seminal fluid. And then we move into the third stage, which is orgasms. The pelvic muscles contract. There's ejaculation for men. Women can have uterine or vaginal contractions, whether it's the sensation from clitoral stimulation or penetration. And then women, just so you know, women can orgasm again if they are stimulated, mm-hmm. but men cannot. So a lot of women just assume that once they have one orgasm, they're done. But women are masterfully created so we can have multiple orgasms. Our refractory period is a lot shorter than men. Men can, the older they get, it can be like 24 hours or 6 hours so they can get erect again. So then we get after this stage, last is the resolution phase. Everything turns to normal, muscles relax, blood pressure drops. And so, you know, yeah, those are the stages of arousal. And I think if anything, you should understand that we should hang out more at the second part when we're getting turned on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just keep. Just because things are flowing doesn't necessarily mean that an orgasm has happened.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I think that it's very confusing for men to know when orgasm happens because women aren't always, it's not always happening. Women, we're so hard on ourselves because we think we're not orgasming the right way, in the right amount of time, in the right position. And it's so, just think about it. Like, it's so hard because no one's telling you this. And so most women, I think, feel inadequate during sex at some point in their lives. If they've never done any research or listened to the show, they often think, like, I did not have an orgasm. I was not turned on. He was aroused. He was having a good time. I was not. What is wrong with me? But once you understand these stages of arousal, that you weren't getting turned on, if there wasn't enough pre, you know, foreplay. So I think that this is just, I can't drive this home enough. Can't. And there's also an assumption that sexual desire and libido are strongest in the young, when we're younger, and it fades out when we age. And I just don't, that is just not true. Nope. At all. So much evidence that we all want to have sex as we get older. And that menopause, as I said, is an obstacle, and that is because we're losing estrogen and you get vaginal dryness. But with all these hormonal treatments and things you can do, I just don't want women to get thrown to say, no, I'm done with it. And I don't think there's enough information out there. So it's important to continue to have regular sex, to continue to keep it going, like exercising a muscle. You got to keep sex going and understanding it more. The more you know, the more you know. The more you know, the more you're going to want to have.
The more you know. You know, that like shooting know. Across like in the rainbow.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I've always had, you know, like a moment of time, you know, after an orgasm with a partner, and they're still hard and they haven't orgasmed yet or ejaculated yet. And I always want to like take a second to myself and like get a drink of water, right, or like, you know, just take a moment to like get back in there. But I never say anything. Oh. Like, because I just like, you know, women are pleasers, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, just keep going. Like, it's fine. But I'm like, I just wish I took a second to like recuperate.
Right.
What can I say?
So, like, after you have an orgasm during intercourse?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you could just be like, can we slow down for a second? I want to get some water. Can we slow down? And I'll be back. And I think that it's very confusing for men because they think, I'm going to lose my erection.
Oh.
So they don't want to stop once they get going, which is why sex starts too quickly sometimes for women, because men are like, I think that there's this fear they're going to lose their erection.
Yeah.
So I think, and this is a tough one, Michelle. I've been there too. And I think that the tricky thing is to say, we're going to keep going. I'll be right back. And just not to be like, keep make out with him. Just be like, I need a second.
Yeah.
Tell me just, I need a second.
Yeah, I just need a second.
Can we stop for a second? And just like, keep kissing him. You could keep touching him with your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then just take that second. And okay, even if you just want to stop it, then you can too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
But I think you should definitely try that.
Yeah,
next time. Let me know it's not over, but I need a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying just that.
Good advice. Yeah,
I get so parched during
sex.
I get so parched. I always make sure that there's water. And what I've done sometimes in that situation, if I'm on top, is I literally just stop and grab the water and I just stay. He's still in me. Mm-hmm. And I just squeeze and I'm like, hold on a second. And I just drink the water and put it down.
Good idea.
But it's like only in that one situation does that work.
And what? And what, to stop and get water? I always stop and get water.
No, like I just have the water by the bed already and I'm just on top, so he's still in me, but I just grab the water and I just drink it.
Oh yeah, I always stop and get one middle side. Like what? I'm like, I'm always like, waters, I have things.
Why don't
I get up, I'll water the plants.
Yeah. Why does it seem like guys get as thirsty?
Like, I just got plants.
It seems like guys don't get as thirsty during sex. Like I'm always the one, I'm like, how are you not needing water right now? Like, I don't understand.
You're doing all the work.
And like,
you're highly participatory in sex.
No, but anyway, I guess, but I don't know. Do you think it's because we get so lubricated? Do you think it's because, like, if you get really wet, you're losing all your liquid in your body?
There is some connection, but I don't think that's it. It's not that immediate.
But it's just weird. I'm always like, and I always ask them, I'm like, you're not thirsty?
I know, I did.
And they're like, no.
Can't we have a joint drink of water here?
I don't like to drink alone.
Right, exactly. I don't know what it is. Hydrate. I know. I always have like 18 bottles of water by my bed. It's true.
Do you get the sex flush?
I do. Yeah, I know. I do. I don't think it turns. It gets like, I have a friend who gets, when she gets, it gets all red. When she gets nervous, she gets all red. I think it's certain skin types, but I do definitely get that warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah, on my chest, and yeah, we do. Pay attention. Now you all pay attention to your flush.
I get all red.
You do?
Yeah, I Kristen, get all red.
You
it
do?
Might be pale girls with freckles.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it is. Right?
And like
different
I could have like an allergic reaction to like their body and their liquids too. I mean, it goes away, but it does look funny for a few minutes.
When you get turned on, when you get aroused.
When I get aroused, after. When it, like they touch my body. Yeah.
Yeah.
The liquid, their liquids with my skin type. Yeah, I turn red.
Okay. Yeah. So. I'm not a red turner, but
it's normal,
it happens.
Then.
It is normal. I think it is. That makes total sense. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
We have Frank, who's 36 in New Hampshire, wants to know if having an online persona is cheating.
Oh, Frank, tell me more.
Hi, Emily. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Frank?
Good. I haven't been listening that long. I figured I'd reach out and call you and see if I can get some advice.
Of course. Here I am.
So I'm in about a 12-year relationship. I love my girlfriend. I've been married. I've been divorced. I'm not getting married again. She knows that. We're in as close to marriage as you can get. We own a house together. We have a life together. She's not very adventurous.
Okay.
So I'll say that. I do have things that I've gotten interested in that I really don't even want to broach the subject with her. So if I go online on my own time out of her knowledge, and I look for that kind of feedback on sites where people are into these kind of things without her knowledge, do you think that that's cheating? In other words, should I feel bad about that, or should I feel like that's, you know, kind of helping me get through and supporting the relationship?
Well, this is what I want to say about that. I think that you haven't totally given her a chance yet. And I'm glad that you said you haven't been listening to the show, because this is what we talk about a lot. So welcome to the show. And so what I think is that you said she's not very adventurous. And I think that a lot of women and men are not adventurous because of fear, because they don't really know what that means. Maybe they had a bad experience. They were raised really religious. She thinks if she's adventurous, she means that she's slutty. Like, she's got all these messages, right? And if you just go on, I want you more adventurous, she's like, well, stop, I'm not enough for you. It's the way that we talk about it. But I bet if you said to her, you know what, babe, I love the sex we're having. It's so hot, and I would love to be the best lover you've ever had. Like, what would that look like? And would you be interested in, like, let's find some fantasies together. I want to give you some orgasm. So it's not about your kinky things you want to get into yet. But the more you can talk to her and build your communication around sex, I think you might find that perhaps she might be into more than you think. She just may never have anyone laid it out in a way that she could understand.
Okay, so maybe keep my stuff on the back burner until I establish a easy way into the conversation.
Yeah, I think that honestly, I don't like the idea. I don't know if I say it's cheating. I don't think it's honest. I think it's a disservice to your relationship for you to get online right now, because now you're like, oh, I'm just going to dip my toe in the water. I'm going to explore people. But the next thing you know, you're going to be at a sex party in like a month from now. It's like slippery slope. And I don't want that to happen to you. And what I'm saying is, Frank, I'd rather you take all that energy and work on communication with her. Because if you love her and she's so great, then she deserves to be brought along on your journey and figure out what great sex means to both of you, because you guys get to co-create that together. And what I find, and why I have a job every night here, and why the phones are lit up every night, is because we don't know how to talk about sex in a way that is helpful for us and our partners. So I'm trying to help people do that. And so I would just love you to have a healthy conversation with her and know that it could take a little bit of time. You know, maybe she had some trauma, some bad experiences. I don't know. I don't know her story. But if you go out with patience and curiosity, I think that you can get what you need and she can get what she needs, and it could be better sex than you ever imagined. Okay, Frank?
All right. So baby steps.
Baby steps. Exactly, Frank. Exactly. Right. That'll be more worth your while than going online and finding some people you don't know in other states and countries.
Okay. We have Sarah, 45, in California. She's got a question about how to talk to her kids about sex.
All right. Hey, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. It's a good question.
Oh my gosh, I got through finally. Yay.
Yay. Hi, Sarah. How can I help? What's going on?
Oh my gosh, how are you?
Good.
Okay. So it prompted the question because, one, my parents have never given me the birds and the bees talk. I kind of learned on my own.
Right.
And two, the other day, my 9-year-old son, I saw him asking a history, Google naked girls, and oh my God, the pictures that like came up just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm at a crossroad. I'm like, okay, I gotta talk about it. So I don't really know how to go about it since I never had that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, Sarah? Most people didn't. Okay. Most people's parents did not talk to them about sex. So that's that. And I understand why that's hard for you. I understand. But really, you just got to go in and you got to be honest with them. You got to say, babe, sweetie, I know that I saw that you looked at my phone. I want to tell you that this is something that you just start to talk to him about what happens and the things that the attraction that he might feel, that at his age, if he has any questions for you about sex or what, you know, you could ask him, like, what were you curious about? So I think you got to meet kids where they're at. So I would maybe ask him some questions and tell him he's not in trouble. Tell him that you want to know how he heard about it and tell him how it made him feel, and that you really just, you know, would prefer that, you know, those aren't the kind of things that he should be looking at his age at nine years old, and that you're happy to answer.
Yeah, I think,
yeah.
Like when I was talking to him, kind of probing, it was more of a curiosity because he said his friends had did it. So he just wanted to do it and then see. And it was just like, he was like, Mom, you saw that. I just went in and went out real fast because he's really tech savvy too.
Right.
So I just went in and went out like within seconds. And, you know, but I guess I was more images that he saw was just, you know, well, it's more than just naked girls.
There's
a lot of...
I know. It's really disturbing. I mean, I guess you could put, you know, some of the parental controls on the phone, but that they're going to see it. And you could just say to him that the pictures that he saw are for entertainment. It's like fiction. It's like when he looks up his favorite, like, I don't know, characters from a movie or something. Like, it's not really, not that they're not real women, but they're doing that for entertainment purposes. And that you could explain to him, if he has any questions, you can talk about... 9 years old is really young. So it's more like if he has questions, he can let you know. You can start to talk to him at that age about like different body parts and, you know, men and women. Like talk to him about, like at nine, he's not going to start getting any feelings yet. But you could just say how certain images when you get older could be, you know, something that's arousing or could be attractive to adults. But it's really tricky, Sarah. I think there's my thing about talking to kids. I wish I had a great place to send you right now for that. There are a few sites, like Scarlatine is a great site. We can put this in the show notes. But what I think, Sarah, this is what I'm going to tell you. Having a talk with him would just maybe be starting with this and just saying, I understand you just looked at it once. But if, you know, because my mom said to me once, if you have questions, ask me. And I never knew what the questions were and I never asked her. So my advice to you, Sarah, is to make this an ongoing conversation, like how you're going to talk to him about his grades at school and about his, you know, friendships and about his summer play, you know, sports he's going to play in school. That the sex conversation has to keep going. And that it could just be like, I want you to know you can ask me anything. Thing as it comes up in the maybe another few weeks. Has anything else come up with your friends? Let me know what you're hearing because I want to explain it to you. I know it can be really confusing, you know? And so that's you just got to kind of meet him with your at, keep bringing it up to him. That's what I think you got to do right now, Sarah.
All righty. Let's see. Mackenzie, 25 in Utah. This is a very interesting question. I'm very excited about it. Her boyfriend has sex with her in his sleep.
Oh, sleep sex. Hey, Mackenzie, how you doing?
I'm good, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. Okay. So he wakes you up. What happens? Tell me.
Well, I'll be in dead asleep, and I'm awoken by him basically trying to start have sex, whether he's trying to fool around with me and just touching me. And I can't tell if he's awake or if he's asleep, but basically how I know was asleep for part of it, because I'll wake up midway is, you know, when I ask him after is, do you remember that you started it? It's basically how I'll have to ask him.
Right.
And he will think that I'm the one that started it, but really I'm the one that's being woken up. Like if we're spooning, he'll be reaching around to touch me or, you know.
Is it a problem? Does it happen every night?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not every night. It's not a problem for me. In fact, the question I had for you is that when that happens is, how he acts, I guess, I don't want to use the word carnal, but he's not inhibited by wondering if something he's doing is weird.
Like,
much more passionate. And he's my fiancé. We've been together for over 4 years. So, and that started happening in the last 2 years. Like, I'd say probably twice a month that happened.
Wow.
So
that's cool. I think that, Mackenzie, that's...
I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Oh, well, it makes sense, Mackenzie. It makes... Well, yeah, and I have heard of sleep sex. I mean, I've been with people who, like, wake up in the middle of the night. Like, you know, he's probably dreaming about you. Or he, like, rolls over for a second and touches you, and then he gets turned on. And, you know, I think that that's... You know, that absolutely happens, sleep sex. I've woken up and had a boy. You know, sometimes I would say no or yes, but that has happened to me. You know, mostly I think I would say no. Usually it happened to me early on in relationships. Point is, Mackenzie, what I love about this is that you can tell him, like, you could replay to him, like, I think it's really hot when we're having sex. You kind of lose your inhibition. It seems like you are really more carnal, and you could explain back to him what he does. And it's almost giving him permission then to do that when he's awake. When you're actually having sex, you'd be like, it's really hot. Because maybe he needs to, you know, sometimes it's just like, he sounds like he's a lovely guy. He's really concerned about your feelings. You know, I think a lot of us hold ourselves back sexually. And sounds like he is. So in a way, I kind of like this, Mackenzie. I think this is sort of a really cool opening in your sex life for you to kind of both get what you want. And maybe you can open it. Maybe it'll help you open up some more. Maybe there's some things that you've been wanting, you know, to try, or just, it feels really good to be desired. So I think outside the bedroom, when it's not happening, like when you guys are at dinner and say, you know, I keep talking about that sleep sex thing. It's, I got to tell you, babe, it's kind of hot and this is what's happening, and then reinforce it. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I'm down to trying it that way. Do you think it's better to say it like not when we're in the middle of having
yes.
sex?
Let me tell you why, Mackenzie. Okay. Here's the thing. And you guys are getting married, so this is going to be something good to know. One of my pieces of advice for couples about communicating about sex is to do it outside the bedroom, unless you're in pain or you want to give specific instructions to how to do, you know, touch you in a certain way. Because when we're in the moment, it can be, sometimes we can interpret things as like, you'd be like, oh, I'm doing something wrong, or we don't quite hear it because we're in an aroused state. So, and if you guys have never talked about sex and that feels uncomfortable, that's such a great way to start. So it's more like when you guys are hanging out, or you're on a road trip, or you're chilling on a Sunday morning, it's like, you know, babe, I got to talk to you about something. I am so excited. I got to tell you, when you wake up and do the sex thing, that's kind of hot, you know, and just talk about it that way. And even though it, I mean, how does that sound? Does that make you nervous, or does that seem like something you could do? Because some people...
No, we've spoken about our sex outside of the bedroom.
Perfect.
Too, just not in lots of detail, you know.
Well, I think, right.
Like, hey, what about this tonight?
yeah. No, I think this would be great. And then you could say, and I just want you to know that I keep thinking about that and it's really hot. And please let me know if there's anything you've been wanting, or maybe Mackenzie, there's something that you'd like to share in that moment. And then I'd love you guys to get into this habit of prioritizing your sex life right now, you know, before you get married and have a long life together. And then it'll be fun. It'll be like something you guys share together rather than something taboo that's weird and gets bad after a while, you know, which happens. So I love this question, Mackenzie.
Yeah,
thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
You're in a great place.
Too.
Of course. Let me know how it goes. Thanks, Mackenzie.
Okay. We got another Instagram question, and I love this question. Can you fix a bad kisser, or are they always going to be bad?
Okay, this is hotly contested. People always say, well, he was a bad kisser, so I dumped him, or she couldn't kiss. No, I think you can fix bad kissing. Hear me out. You say to them, show me how you like to be kissed. I'm going to show you how I like to be kissed, and then we'll make up our own kissing dance. That's what works, you guys. And then if that doesn't work, then we can talk about it. But I think that people get set in their ways, just like people having sex. If you have sex with someone for the first time and sex isn't great, I don't think that's a deal breaker. I know it's not. I know that if you've never talked about it, but you've all this great chemistry with someone, when you actually kiss, you actually have penetrative intercourse, and it doesn't feel perfect the first time, that's normal. Have a conversation. But yeah, the kissing thing is kind of like, if they hear what you're saying, they're like, okay, I'm going to let you lead. And then now I'm going to lead. And what can we do? How can we make an amalgamation of our kisses? Put it all together in a kissing dance. What do you think? I know this is people, some people don't agree. They're like, nope, that's a sign. I'm out.
Well, I like your advice. And just like you say, great lovers are not born, they are made. Great kissers, they're not born, they're made. You know, you kind of just learn.
Exactly. You learn, you learn, you learn. What feels good to a partner. And again, if you, people who trip up on, like, I don't have enough experience yet to make me a great lover, I haven't had enough orgasms yet to make me a good lover. No, that's not what makes you a good lover. What makes you a great lover is an attentive, present lover who was willing to learn.
Okay, let's talk to Mike. He is 39 in New Jersey, and he's with a new girl. She likes to be choked. He wants to know how to handle that.
Okay. Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling. It's a good question.
How are you girls?
We're good.
Little paranoid, doing missionary style, she basically told me to put her hands around her neck, like to be like air constricted. I'm a very strong guy.
Okay.
Very fit. I'm a bodybuilder, and I'm afraid I'm going to like overdo it. Next thing you know, just these thoughts are running through my mind while we're having sex. Murder charges or rape charges.
Well, I get it.
Something like that.
I mean, you want to be really delicate. No, here's the thing. You got to be really delicate and just start light. You don't want to pinch the windpipe. It's more like the sides of the neck. It's not like the windpipe. Like, no, it's like the sides, and it's more about the gesture. It's not about as tight as it is. You know, you want to start really, really, light with it. Delicate. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and if she says harder, you got to just pay attention to what you're doing in the moment and make sure, you know, pay attention. Is she breathing? And yeah, I get it's a real thing, but I love that you're concerned about it, as you should be. So I think a lot of it is just about the notion that you could choke her, not that it actually she's feeling it. You know, you don't want her to pass out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, as long as she's enjoying it, that's the way to
Yeah, say it. She's going to enjoy the domination of it, like that you're going to be dominating her with your hands around her neck, but it doesn't mean you have to, like, squeeze so tight there's a problem, okay? Let's just check it with her. Okay, Mike. Thanks for calling. It's a good question. We don't want any deaths.
No. We don't want that.
No, you guys, listen. Whenever you're starting something new in the bedroom, like if it's a spanking or choking or anything at all, you have to start really light. You start slow, softer taps, then you can build up to more aggressive. But you want to how's that? Anyone who's doing these kind of things, you got to build up to it and keep checking in and pay attention.
All right, let's talk to Stephanie, who's 51 in Virginia. She's thinking about adding porn to her sex life with her husband.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Emily. Hi. We've talked about it, my husband and I. We've mentioned it. He's open to it. For some reason, I just can't pull the trigger and do it. Help.
Okay, so he's already been watched. Have you ever watched it before?
Not together. I am on the bioidentical hormones that you talked about the other day.
Awesome.
And they're awesome. So yay. I'm pretty much horny all the time now.
Amazing.
And
okay.
So I watch porn alone occasionally, maybe once or twice a week, you know, to help with that.
Right.
But we have not watched together.
Okay, so what's the
fear? And I don't know why.
Well, what's the fear? What's keeping you? Walk me through what you're thinking. What could happen?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, probably because you've been together a while and you've never seen it. It's something new, right?
Yeah, like 18 years.
18 years. So this is the thing about sex. It's like, and you both want to do it. So I would find something that maybe you each could either pull a clip that you both want to show, pull something you both want to show each other.
Right.
And you could do that. Or it's more like, is there a scene that you'd like to show him? Is there something that you have in your mind already?
I like girl on girl and threesomes.
Okay.
I don't want to do it, but I love to watch it.
Right? Yeah. No, so common. In fact, girl on girl, top, that's what most women, the majority of women watch the same thing. So I would find a clip.
Okay.
Now, are you nervous? Which part of it? Like, I think you just, you know, you have your night. Do you guys, have a date night? Do you have a night when you guys are going to be doing this? Do you have a plan for it?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So I think you just let him know that, or next time he comes home and you know what's going to happen, you could just say, I've been wanting to show this to you. How do you watch? On your laptop, your iPad, phone?
On the phone and stream it to the TV.
Great. Just be like, I've been wanting to show you something. Find the clip that you want to show him. We love Erica Lust porn. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Erica Lust, but it's like made from the female gaze by women for women. It's really hot. There's really hot girl and girl stuff. It's very body positive. It's very it really turns us all on here. We love Erica Lust or Frolic Me, F-R-O-L-I-C .com. Maybe that kind of porn would make you feel like it was more comfortable to show. Something that you felt more relevant to you. But I think that once you do it, the good thing is you both have cleared it. So I think you could even say to him, I'm a little nervous to do this, but I think it's going to be fun. I think the more that we authentically show after 18 years of marriage, he's not expecting you to just go, here you go, babe, check this out, boom. No, he's nervous too.
Right.
So recognizing wow, it's another first for us, 18 years, you know, here's to another, you know, 40 years of us having amazing sex starting tonight. This is a rebirth of our pleasure.
Right.
I'm showing you something hot, and then he shows you something, and then you'll be off. It'll be great. I just think it's that hump that you got to get over, you know, but make it fun and light. This is kind of, you know, makes me a little nervous, but I'm going to do it. Does that feel like something you could do?
Sounds
Have it ready to go.
Yeah, I think I can do that.
He's going to be, and he said he wants it too. And I promise you he's going to be into it. Yeah. What you're into. That's what happens. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Stephanie, let me know, guys. You're so welcome. Thanks for calling. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. I love you all. Thank you for listening and supporting the show and sharing it with your friends and subscribing and telling everyone you know how great your sex life and relationship is because you've started listening to the show. Or maybe you know people who need help. You can easily share them an episode. That's awesome. And a lot of couples listen to the show together, and I know that it really helps them to get the conversation going. All right, thank you all, and thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.